Hello, I'm Mina, Sight Loss Advisor and Lifestyle Coordinator at Beacon. This week's edition of the Black Country Talking News is for Wednesday the 14th of October 2020.
Welcome to the Black Country Talking News, brought to you by Sight Loss Charity, Beacon Centre. I'm Simon. We are pleased to inform you that our Talking News service is now once again available in CD format. And to those who have received their CD in the post, you'll notice they're in paper envelopes, not the usual plastic wallets, so there's no need to send anything back. Our Talking News service is also available via the following methods. Online by visiting Beacon's website, www.beaconvision.org/talking-news, as a podcast on the Black Country Radio website, www.blackcountryradio.co.uk/on-air/podcasts. On Spotify and Apple Podcasts, simply search Beacon Black Country Talking News and hit the subscribe button, and on your mobile or tablet device by downloading the free British Wireless for the Blind Talking News application from your App Store. We hope you enjoy this week's edition. Reading this week, we have Ian, Christine, Mina, Helen, Flashback Roger, Pete, me Simon, and a new reader for this week, Angela. Included this week is local news stories, the quiz of the week, more fascinating facts from Flashback Roger as we look back at this week in history. In Sightless News, we look at cocoon filter glasses with Richard from Associated Optical, news from the Wolves and West Bromwich Albion. We take a look back at what could have been one of the largest airports in the world, Penderford Airport in Wolverhampton, the weather for the weekend and next week, an update from Beacon, plus a music quiz to finish. But to start, what about last week's quiz? It's over to you, Pete.
So let's run through the answers to last week's music quiz then. The questions, as you know, were sent in by Andy Coulson, so always like to say thank you to Andy for sending them in. And it was the quiz where we asked you to guess the missing word, so we gave you a song title and missed a word out. So if you remember, let's carry on where we ended last week then. 1955 was the first one. It was the Johnson Brothers, and Hernando's Hideaway was the answer to that. So the Johnson Brothers, Hernando's Hideaway from 1955. And probably, I know, I didn't know it either, so don't worry too much about it. From 1956, Carl Perkins and Blue Suede Shoes. You knew that one, didn't you? 1956, Carl Perkins, Blue Suede Shoes. And finally, another one to test you, I thought, last week, from 1957, Tab Hunter and Young Love was the answer we were after there. So Tab Hunter, Young Love. And the good news is we've got another quiz coming up at the end for you, another music quiz coming up at the end.
Plus, our flashback quiz too. There's lots to fit in, so let's start off with some Black Country news with a new voice, Angela, plus Ian. But first, here's Christine.
A new scheme has been launched to recognise Wolverhampton businesses which comply with coronavirus rules. The City Council has launched a new COVID compliance scheme to recognise the businesses which are obeying the law to keep customers and staff safe during the pandemic. Businesses include shops, restaurants, pubs and hairdressers across the city which have passed an inspection by the council's commercial regulation team are now being given green tick COVID compliance signage to display in their windows. The purpose of the scheme is to provide reassurance to the public, increase customer confidence and encourage people to support local businesses. The council has been working closely with businesses to provide advice and to support the implementation of new measures required by law to improve the safety of customers and employees. A business is deemed to be COVID-19 compliant when it can evidence during inspection it has the following measures in place. A COVID-19 risk assessment. A contact tracing system is in place to collect the details of customers and visitors. The NHS QR code is displayed and working correctly. COVID-19 safety signage is displayed. A system is in place for checking COVID-19 symptoms of staff and customers. A cleaning regime is in place. facilities for hand washing are available, steps have been taken to maintain a 2 metre distance, and where people cannot maintain 2 metre distancing, the business has implemented risk mitigation. Staff are wearing adequate PPE and customers are wearing a face covering. The council has already inspected many businesses and will be visiting all establishments over the coming weeks. The COVID compliant window stickers will feature a website address and QR code to enable people to provide feedback, good or bad, to the council. Any complaints about businesses will be investigated and the council will not hesitate to take enforcement action against any establishment which is flouting the rules. The authority has already shut down businesses for breaking the rules and putting people at risk, including a barber's shop in Blakenhall.
Almost 50,000 letters have been sent out to vulnerable people living in Wolverhampton to provide them with advice on how to stay safe amid the pandemic. Health chiefs in the city have stressed coronavirus hasn't gone away, with cases still increasing, with the vulnerable being warned over how easily it can spread. Both Wolverhampton Council and the city's clinical commissioning group have issued the warning to ensure everyone at risk knows and follows the rules. John Denley, Director of Public Health at the authority, said, "It's important to remember that COVID-19 hasn't gone away, and the number of new cases locally has increased over the last month or so, which shows how easily it can spread, particularly within households and from one family to another. It's a worry for everyone, especially as winter approaches, and that's why we must all continue to do all we can to stay safe and well and to help stop the spread of COVID-19. We hope the letter provides useful information and also reassurance around some of the key things that we can all do to protect ourselves and others from COVID-19. The letter, which details the local restrictions on households mixing in the city, has been sent on behalf of Mr. Denley and Dr. Salma Rihana, chairwoman of the governing body for Wolverhampton's CCG. It details how people must not let anyone they don't live with or who are not part of their support bubble into their home or garden, with people prohibited from visiting each other's homes or gardens as well. And it highlights other measures residents can do to protect themselves, such as washing their hands and wearing face coverings in enclosed spaces like shops and on public transport.
Plans for a university park in Dudley have moved a step closer, with the appointment of a higher education institution to drive it forward. Worcester University has this week been appointed to lead on plans to build a university centre at Castle Hill as part of Dudley Council's Town Fund plan. The development of the university centre, which will be located alongside the Black Country and Marches Institute of Technology and the Very Light Rail Innovation Centre, is a key part of the Council's strategy to develop a higher education campus at Castle Hill. Dudley Council will submit a bid for £25 million towards the cost of the project to the Government's Towns Fund in January 2021. The University of Worcester will deliver its outstanding programmes centred around healthcare and allied professions, including nursing, midwifery, paramedics and related health occupations, from the new Dudley site.
A coronavirus vaccine could become available for hospital staff in the Black Country in December. Diane Wake, Chief Executive of the Dudley Group NHS Trust, revealed the arrival of a vaccine could be just weeks away. She said the long-hoped-for vaccine could be made available for NHS workers before the end of the year in what would be a major breakthrough in the fight against coronavirus. Ms. Wake told a Trust board meeting, "I'm hoping for a COVID-19 vaccine to be available to healthcare providers sometime in December. It has not been confirmed yet, but I'm hoping to be able to offer a COVID-19 vaccine to our staff." The chief executive said vaccines would likely be provided via mobile units. Ms. Wake added, "There will be porter cabins in different communities to help with that. We will be looking if vaccines can be delivered to trust sites as well." The revelation is another promising development in the hunt for a vaccine, which the government hopes will provide the key to returning to a normal way of life. It follows reports vaccinations could soon be on offer to the most vulnerable members of the public. There have, however, been warnings that a mass vaccination of the British public could take up to a year. The government has ordered millions of vaccine doses, but none have yet been declared safe to use. The potential arrival of a vaccination would come at a crucial time, with daily cases and hospital admissions continuing to rise amid suggestions tougher restrictions targeting pubs could be on the way for parts of England. Ms Wake confirmed COVID-19 hospital admissions had risen again at Russell's Hall Hospital over the last week, with 10 patients currently being cared for. She also said the R rate for the West Midlands was between 1.2 and 1.5. Anything above 1 means infections are increasing. The rate of cases in the West Midlands is 70 per 100,000, with Dudley's figure currently at 61 per 100,000, she said.
The £780 million joint venture between the UK brewing arms of Carlsberg and Wolverhampton-based Marsden's is set to be finalised after the deal was approved by regulators. The Competition and Markets Authority said it has cleared the combination of the businesses after finding that concerns raised over the deal did not warrant blocking it. The Campaign for Real Ale had called for an investigation of the joint venture, saying it would reduce the choice of beers available to pubgoers. The regulator said Marston's own many pubs across the UK, which might choose to serve more Carlsberg products and fewer independent brands. The CMA found, however, that Marston's pubs form only a small part of the potential UK customer base for brewers, and that independent brewers would continue to have sufficient access to pubs after the merger, allowing them to compete effectively, it said in a statement. The two companies want to create the Carlsberg Marston's Brewing Company, which would have its headquarters in Wolverhampton, with Marston's brewing business valued at £580 million and Carlsberg's UK brewing division at £200 million. Marston's, which has pubs right across the region, said it will own a 40% stake in the joint venture and will use the plans to focus on its pub and accommodation business. The transaction will now complete at the end of October 2020.
More local news bulletins coming up shortly, but now for a weekly update from Beacon.
Hi everyone, it's Helen from the Beacon. How are you all? I hope okay, managing in these ever-changing times we find ourselves in. Now, we thought we'd start this week with Beacon's update and some good news about our shops. If you popped into our Sedgley or Bloxwich stores recently, you may have noticed something a little mysterious going on. But the secret's out. We've launched our very own Beacon mystery boxes. Will you try your luck? They're just £5 and you can pick from women's fashion in your size or household items. Who knows what goodies you'll walk away with? Perhaps a new style that you might not have otherwise tried, or a new look for your home. Either way, if you buy a Beacon box, you'll be helping us help people with sight loss when they need us most. Now, we've got some great news for Bilston. We're back. We're so pleased to let you know that our Bilston store reopened on October the 14th. The opening hours are 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday to Saturday. As with all our stores, we've got a number of measures in place to make sure they're COVID secure. These include maximum number of people inside each shop, Perspex screens at till points, social distancing, increased cleaning, hand sanitising stations and quarantining donations. So don't forget, if you'd like to make a donation to our Bilston store or any of our other shops, please call in advance as we're a bit tight on space due to the quarantining of items. You can reach us on the phone via 01902 880 111 option 2. Now, you may have seen recently it was World Mental Health Day, so we wanted to take the opportunity to talk to you about the difficulties in coming to terms with sight loss. And as many of our listeners will know, it can be tough, really tough. You might experience a whole range of emotions such as anger, denial and loneliness. That might be something you get over quickly, or it could live with you for years. It doesn't have to, though. Our trained sight loss advisors can help you get the support you need. In fact, half of the team have sight loss themselves, so they really do know what it's like. So whether it's showcasing the tech that makes pouring a cup of tea easy again, or helping you meet others who've been through similar experiences, they can help. And it doesn't matter if you're newly diagnosed or if you've been struggling to manage your emotions for some time now. We can help. Call 01902 880 111. Lastly, National Braille Week has just finished. We use the week to say thanks to our friends at Wolverhampton Braille Group Vital Bats, because due to them, we'll soon have Beacon contact details available in Braille. To find out about this and how else we can help, why not give us a ring? Here's our number again, just in case you need it. It's 01902 880 111. That's it for this week. Stay safe, and hopefully I'll be back with you soon. Bye.
Thanks, Helen. More local news now with Ian, Christine and Angela.
Some patients and visitors at a Black Country hospital have refused to wear masks, leading to a warning from staff. Bosses at Russell Hall in Dudley said the majority of the public had complied with the rules on wearing masks, but that a number had point-blank refused. Those who choose not to comply with the rules were spoken to about the importance of doing so. Mary Sexton, chief nurse at the Dudley Group NHS Trust, which runs the hospital, told a board meeting. She also warned some were treating a hospital trip as a day out and bringing several members of the family along with them. People are required to wear masks in outdoor settings, including shops and pubs, but there is perhaps an even higher moral expectation attached to wearing one in a hospital due to the vulnerability of people who they could potentially come into contact with. Ms. Sexton said, "The majority are complying and are working with us. We have had a number of individuals who have point blank refused and we have had to speak to them at length. We do have measures in place for people who cannot wear a mask. They are being supported when they try to access trust services. We have had to have conversations with outpatients. It can be a habit that it's a bit of a day out for them and come with several members of the family and young children. We have had to have conversations about restricting numbers as much as possible to maintain social distancing." Ms. Sexton said the hospital had received complaints about partners or family members not being able to attend appointments, particularly for baby scans. She added, "Overall, most people have been pretty understanding and compliant with the measures. But like anything with members of the public, you always get a small group who, for whatever reason, don't wish to comply."
A new Fraser's store featuring a mix of businesses owned by tycoon Mike Ashley's retail empire will launch in the city centre next month. Sports Direct will close to move to the Mander Centre. The store will open at the Mander Centre in Wolverhampton. The first phase of opening is due to take place in early November at the former Debenhams unit in a much-needed boost for the shopping centre. It will see Sports Direct move from its current Queen Street base, while high-end flannels will also launch as part of the Fraser's concept store. House of Fraser is also due to switch to the Mander Centre from Beatty's at a later date. Sports Direct has launched a closing down sale at its branch on Queen Street ahead of the anticipated Mander Centre relaunch. The Fraser shop, bringing together Newcastle United owners Mr. Ashley's range under one roof, is among the first to launch in the country. It is thought the separate brands will operate across different floors. A spokeswoman confirmed Sports Direct and Flannels would launch in November, but it remains unclear when House of Fraser will leave Beatty's as plans for the historic building continue to be drawn up. It is also understood the high street giant has agreed to remain at Beatty's for the time being while plans for the future are finalised. The end result will be a new anchor store for the Mander Centre, bringing a significant boost for the centre following the disaster of losing Debenhams after less than 2 years. Up to 250 apartments could be created at the landmark Beatty's building following its sale earlier this year. It is thought the upper part of the building will be converted into apartments. Meanwhile, the lower part could be kept for retail purposes if plans are backed by the City Council.
Fewer pupils and teachers in Wolverhampton are now having to self-isolate as a result of confirmed coronavirus cases in the city's schools, latest figures show. At the end of last week, around 500 pupils, teachers and support staff were currently self-isolating, down from more than 3,000 a fortnight ago. Councillor Dr. Mike Hardacre, Cabinet Minister for Education and Skills, said, "We've said all along that we will do everything we can to enable our children and young people to return to full-time education, even as the coronavirus pandemic continues. There are currently around 500 pupils and staff self-isolating because of a case within their school bubbles, considerably less than towards the end of September, when around 3,000 pupils were self-isolating. This is thanks to the quick response of schools, the council and Public Health England to cases as and when they are first reported, and the good work that is taking place to keep bubble sizes to a minimum so that fewer pupils and staff need to isolate in the event of a confirmed case. It's important that we all continue to do everything we can to keep our city schools COVID-free. Most importantly, if you or anyone in your household has symptoms of COVID-19, no matter how mild, your child should not come to school. Instead, your whole household must self-isolate, and the person with symptoms should get a test as soon as possible. If your child has to self-isolate because of a confirmed case within their school bubble, please remember that this applies to both school and other settings. Your child shouldn't mix with anyone outside the household, go on public transport, or go to places like shops or sports clubs or to exercise. The rest of the household doesn't need to self-isolate at this stage, and your child doesn't need to get a test themselves unless they develop symptoms of COVID-19. Adults are also asked to do all they can to maintain social distancing when dropping off or picking up their children from school, arriving at their allocated time and not wait around any longer than they need to. They are also urged to consider wearing a face covering, particularly if they are going onto the premises.
Council bosses are still waiting for crucial government funding earmarked for several major projects. It was hoped an almost £50 million bid as part of the government's Towns Fund scheme would have been confirmed for Wolverhampton by the start of October, but there has been no word yet from ministers. Officials say they are not concerned by the delay and that they are now hoping the cash will be agreed this month. It is highly expected Wolverhampton will be granted the Towns Deal cash, particularly as the city was chosen by the government for the launch of the £3.6 billion Towns Fund as part of Boris Johnson's pledge to level up parts of the UK. The funding has been earmarked for major projects, including the new City Centre Learning Quarter, which will become the new home of Wolverhampton College on the former Faces nightclub site, the Brewer's Yard development, and pedestrianisation of large parts of the city centre.
Parents who park dangerously outside Dudley schools could be fined or even taken to court in a new joint initiative launched by the council and police. Operation Park Safe was launched this week in a bid to make the streets outside the borough's schools safer for children, staff and parents. The new initiative will see West Midlands Police asking parents, teachers and residents living near to the schools to be their eyes and ears. Police will invite people to send photos of dangerous parking directly to officers, who will then review the evidence before deciding whether to issue fixed penalty notices or take court action. Examples of dangerous parking where action can be taken includes parking on pedestrian crossings or school zigzag lines, as well as near to school entrances in a manner which would prevent access for emergency services vehicles. Blocking residents in by parking across driveways and preventing access for pedestrians by parking across pavements can also be reported.
There's more local news coming up shortly, but now it's that time of the week again. From the Black Country Talking News, it's the quiz of the week. I hope you're ready, Mina.
I am ready to test you on This Week in History
with our flashback quiz with all the questions on events that happened on this week in history, with the answers in our flashback section coming up later. So, are you ready? Question one. In what year was John Denver born? Question two. What was the name of the actor who played very first Tarzan on film? Question three. How long was the record round the world flight made by Concorde? Question four. What was the name of the TV show in which Roger Moore played Simon Templar? Question five. In what year was the frosted light bulb first patented? And finally, question six. 1973 saw a fuel crisis in many Western countries. What was the name given to the Middle East that triggered it? Flashback Roger will give away the answers a little later in our flashback section. And if you miss them, don't panic. I'll run through them all at the end of this week's edition of the Black Country Talking News. Good luck!
Now remember, don't panic, as Flashback Roger will be along where all the answers will be revealed, and Mina will run through them at the end if you missed any. Let's return to the local news now with Christine, Angela, but first up, it's Ian.
A Tory MP has hailed flourishing retailers across the region as he warned that negativity surrounding the coronavirus was hitting sales. Marco Longhi said some shops were doing so well they were expanding and taking on more workers, proving that it was possible to thrive despite the pandemic. The Dudley North MP met with retailers during a visit to the Trident Centre off Dudley High Street. He said it was a pleasure to visit these businesses and see retail successes during these challenging times. Of course, I acknowledge many are still having a real tough time because of COVID-19. I've recently talked about the hospitality sector, which has really borne the brunt of the consequences of COVID safety measures, and it still is. But one thing I do know is this. We can all talk ourselves down, be negative and reduce customer interest in the area, or we can work the problem out and be as optimistic as we can be. It really does make a difference. Mr. Longhi said businesses were preparing to move into three empty units in the centre.
Dozens of new houses and apartments are to be built on the site of a former historic Wolverhampton brewery. Keown Homes Limited has been given the green light by Wolverhampton Council planners for the development, which will be constructed on the former Springfield Brewery maintenance yard. The scheme will see a total of 64 properties constructed, featuring 31 two-bedroom houses and 33 one- and two-bedroom flats. An Arson Hit disused warehouse building will be demolished to make way for the homes, but the boundary wall will be kept on the Cambridge Street site. Springfield Brewery first opened in 1874, and the adjacent site was run as a maintenance yard from 1895. The Grade 2 listed brewery closed in 1996 after years of decline in the business and was eventually taken over by the University of Wolverhampton, which opened a new campus there in 2014. The whole site sits within the Springfield Conservation Area, and the Grade 2 listed brewery gates remain after being refurbished.
Carers delivering meals to elderly people are among those being hit with fines after a clampdown on rail commuters parking in streets near a station. Strict parking measures have been introduced in Rectory Road, Rectory Gardens and Rectory Close, Old Swinford, by Dudley Council to stop motorists clogging up the roads near to Stourbridge Junction train station. Single yellow lines means no parking from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. on one side of the road and noon to 1 p.m. on the other. But while residents admit the move has solved one problem, it has created another, with guests visiting people in the street and healthcare visitors ending up with £35 fines. and neighbours have voiced concerns about what they have described as overzealous parking officers who now keep watching the streets with tickets at the ready. Resident Adam Morris said, "We asked the council to put the system in place, and to be fair, it has worked because people aren't just dumping their cars on the street all day. However, it has now seen all the residents who have been used to parking outside their own homes being ticketed. There are a lot of people in their 80s and 90s, with some getting meals delivered by carers who are getting ticketed too." The 39-year-old, who said he has received two tickets himself, said he had asked the council for help, but he felt they weren't interested. He said, "I've asked them whether we could get a residence pass that we could give to guests to put in their windows, or the elderly people can give to their carers. However, we were told no, and whether that's because they'd have to spend extra money on signs, I don't know, but it felt like a very abrupt no." Councillor Karen Shakespeare, Cabinet Member for Environmental Highways and Street Services, said, "Following complaints from residents about people parking in the street all day while going to work, single yellow lines were introduced to prevent parking for 1 hour on weekdays only. This operates from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. on one side of the road and noon to 1 p.m. on the other. This allows for parking at all times throughout the day, but prevents people from leaving their vehicles there all day."
Police arrested two Wolves fans and one Baggies fan for racist chanting last season, new figures show. New figures have shown racist chanting at football rose last season. Anti-racism charity Kick It Out said it is everyone's responsibility to make a stand against discrimination and hatred, after arrests for such offences more than doubled across the top five divisions last season. Home Office figures show two Wolverhampton Wanderers supporters were arrested in the 2019-2020 season for racist and indecent chanting. In the previous five seasons, three fans were arrested for the same offence. One West Bromwich Albion supporter was arrested in the 2019-2020 season for racist and indecent chanting. In the previous five seasons, one other fan was also arrested for the same offence. No Walsall supporters were arrested for racist and indecent chanting in 2019-2020, nor in any of the previous five seasons. Arrests for racist and indecent chanting across the top five leagues more than doubled last season compared to the campaign before, despite severe restrictions on fan attendance.
Work is progressing on futuristic high-tech panelling at the Merrihill Shopping Centre as part of a £10 million project. The light chaining panels form part of a revamp work to transform its external walls and entrances. It comes as a new operator was found for the centre following the collapse of Into Properties PLC earlier this year. A new operator, Elandi, has confirmed the revamp project, started under Into, would continue with a completion date set for spring next year. Contractor Mac is carrying out the redevelopment work, which will replace cladding, remodel entrances and install big screens and energy-saving LED lighting that can change the colour of Merrihill's walls. A refurbishment of the washroom facilities has just been completed and other improvements will follow over the coming months, it has been confirmed. The centre will continue to be known as Into Merrihill for an interim period before it will be rebranded sometime next year.
Our final news roundup on the way, plus news from our local football clubs too. Now, earlier this week, Pete had a chat with Richard Bowring from Associated Optical, who supply Beacon with low vision equipment, including analogue and digital magnifiers. But as a lot of people with sight loss struggle with bright light and sunlight, Pete wanted to know a little more about filter glasses and asked Richard how they help.
To be fair, Pete, we've got a fantastic solution for this time of year, particularly as the nights draw in. We've got those harsh LED HEV headlights that are an irritant for many. So I know you're familiar with the Cocoon fitovers, which we supply with the Beacon already. But more recently, we've launched a lens which is known as a Twilight. So it's an official certified driving lens for nighttime driving, but obviously it cuts the harshness of those HEV blue lights coming towards you. So blue light blocker in there, protecting the eyes.
So there's a specific pair of glasses for nighttime driving?
Correct. Okay. Correct.
So I know that's something that a lot of people will be intrigued about to find out more, but there's specific nighttime driving glasses. Especially sometimes I find people say when it's been raining and then the sun comes out and there's a glare coming up from the pavement. What can we do with the range of glasses?
Yeah, and again, with the cocoons, are unique in that regard. So you've got your full protection around the eye, hence the reason they're called a cocoon. You've got a top protection, but more importantly, an undercarriage, which again, unique to cocoons in so much that if you get that bounce of light, it stops any inlet of light coming back in. Seven different sizes available. So if you've got people with a deeper spectacle or maybe somebody with a smaller frame, there's a size that will fit each individual.
So cocoons, then it's a range of glasses. They're called cocoons, yep. and they're blocking out degrees of blue light, or how would you call it?
Well, I mean, many people will call it HEVs, or you've got LED lights now on the headlights. The harsh, bright lights that are coming towards you at night can be quite piercing as well, you know. So these will almost bring it down to a sort of a candlelight feel, yeah. Make it more easy on the eye, and just not having that irritation that is causing people not, you know, to not want to drive at night, to be fair.
So that's the driving aspect. I know something that I've come across is when things are hazy, when things are too bright, when it actually hurts my eyes. And it's sometimes folks will say, do you know what, I'm just not going to go out today because it's too bright.
Yeah.
So with the range of glasses that we have, with the different filters, they can help in those situations.
Absolutely. There's a lens specifically designed for, of course it's subjective, but specifically designed to help in various areas. So, you know, with glare, with contrast enhancement, over at the Beacon, you know, you stock the glasses already. There's going to be a lens there that will be suitable for okay. most people.
So if we're in that situation that it's too bright today, the sun's getting lower in the sky, I don't want to go out because of the brightness, got the bounce of the glare off the pavement,
yep.
and it's just too difficult with the bright light. By the sound of it, it doesn't have to be like that. There's something we can do.
Absolutely, 100%.
Okay, so if you're struggling with a bright light, give us a call at Beacon, 01902 880 111, and I'm sure there's something we can do to make life a little bit easier for you.
That number again, in case you missed it, 01902 880 111. Our final news roundup now with Ian, Angela and Christine.
Bosses at Showcase today said they were committed to keeping cinemas across the region open. It comes as rival Cineworld is temporarily closing its sites in the UK, including Wolverhampton, Telford and Shrewsbury, due to a fall-off in attendances due to the coronavirus pandemic. Mark Barlow, UK General Manager for Showcase Cinemas, which has branches in Castle Gateway, Dudley and Bentley Millway, Walsall, said, "We were delighted to start reopening our cinemas back in July and are committed to keeping them open. We are truly passionate about offering guests the best environment to watch a film in the cinema. We have introduced a number of new safety measures as part of our Be Showcase Safe programme, from socially distanced seating and staggered film times to sanitising stations throughout and every seat being sprayed after every show with a non-chemical antiviral spray, all to help keep our guests and employees as safe as possible." The cinemas reopened earlier than Cineworld after the lockdown was lifted, encouraging customers in by showing classic films like Back to the Future and Jaws for £5 a ticket. New releases like Tenet have also brought people back, but cinemas received a blow when it was announced the new James Bond film, No Time to Die, would not now be released until next year. The decision led to the temporary closure this week of Cineworld cinemas, but Showcase says it's determined to remain open.
Film crews have returned to the Black Country for an upcoming movie based on an English poet. Bantock Park in Wolverhampton, this time being the location. It is believed the landmark estate was used to film Benediction, an upcoming movie based on the story of English poet, writer and soldier Siegfried Sassoon. Starring Doctor Who actor Peter Capaldi and Jack Loudon, who starred in Dunkirk. Himley Hall in Dudley was also rumoured to have been used for the production.
Take That singer Gary Barlow will be joined by Wolverhampton-born Beverly Knight on his UK tour in 2021, it's been announced. It comes after Beverly and Gary teamed up for a virtual duet during the coronavirus lockdown, swapping arena stages for casual clothes and the comfort of their own homes. Singer-songwriter Knight posted a clip on her Instagram featuring herself and Barlow during a video call duetting hit song I Knew You Were Waiting by Aretha Franklin and George Michael. Gary and Beverly will perform at the Utilita Arena on June 18, 2021. He will perform his hits from his new album and his three-decade-long career on his tour, which will also feature a full orchestra.
A free firework extravaganza will light up the sky on Bonfire Night across Dudley as a thank you to the heroes of the coronavirus pandemic. People will be able to see the 7-minute Light Up Dudley display, which will be accompanied by music played on Black Country Radio from their doorsteps at 8 p.m. on Tuesday, November the 5th. It comes after the popular Himley Bonfire, which attracts up to 20,000 people every year, had to be cancelled for safety reasons due to the COVID-19 lockdown. Key buildings across the borough, including Russell's Hall Hospital, will also be lit up between 6:30 p.m. and 8:30 p.m. to pay tribute to the work of NHS and frontline staff in the fight against coronavirus. Councillor David Stanley, the Mayor of Dudley, said, "We are aiming for full borough coverage, so hopefully people will be able to step outside their homes, wherever they live, and see a free firework display safely." The display will also be streamed live on social media to make double sure we don't miss anyone out. The fireworks will be let off at 6 unspecified locations across the borough. We won't be publicising where they are, as we don't want people to travel to the sites and watch them. It is our way of saying thank you to the incredible people in the NHS and on the front line who have risked their lives to save others. It's also a thank you to every resident in the borough. It's been a difficult period for everyone, and hopefully this will provide a bit of joy and an escape from our current difficulties.
A new award has been announced by the West Midlands Lieutenancy to highlight the actions many young people have made during the pandemic crisis. The West Midlands Young Active Citizen Award is aimed at pupils in the region's secondary schools who have gone the extra mile to support those who have been vulnerable at this time. Professor Helen Higson OBE, the new Vice Lord Lieutenant for the West Midlands, has chaired the organisation's education committee for the last 3 years and believes the award will shine a light on the positive impact young people make to their communities. She said, "Working with young people and seeing the efforts they make to improve people's lives is heartwarming and impressive. We felt these people needed to be celebrated for being such good citizens, and by nominating them for this award, we can highlight what they have done and are still doing, which in turn provides role models for us all across the region." A letter is being sent to every secondary school head teacher in the West Midlands, encouraging them to nominate their deserving pupils. In particular, the Lieutenancy wants to hear about pupils who have volunteered in the community for charity or a services organisation. They are looking for nominees who have been creative and selfless in their activities, or demonstrated by their actions and attitude what is possible in terms of exceptional resilience and leadership this year. The deadline for nominations is October the 31st, and all nominations should be emailed to j.m.e.otley@aston.ac.uk.
Sports news to follow shortly, but now it's time to listen out for the answers to the quiz as we look back at this week in history with more fascinating facts from the one and only Flashback Roger.
Hi everybody, this is Roger again, and this of course is our Flashback section, where we take a look at events that happened during the week of the 11th to the 17th of October in past years, and where of course you'll find the answers to the quiz questions that were set earlier. John Denver, born in 1943 and named Henry John Deutschendorf Jr., died on October the 12th, 1997. He died when the small aircraft he was piloting crashed off the coast of California. cause of the accident was Denver's inability to switch fuel tanks while in flight. Denver apparently lost control while trying to switch fuel tanks and crashed. Even though Denver was aware of the switch location and that he was low on fuel in his primary tank, he chose to fly anyway, believing he could fly on autopilot while switching tanks. Gordon Griffith, who was the very first Tarzan of film, died on October 12, 1958. This American actor, one of the world's first child actors, became the first actor to portray Tarzan in film after appearing as the child Tarzan in Tarzan of the Apes in 1918. Griffiths would also play Tarzan's son Korak in the 15-episode serial The Son of Tarzan in 1920. On October 13th in 1992, an Air France Concorde makes a round-the-world flight in 33 hours 1 minute. It was a record around-the-world flight by a commercial aircraft. Concorde made the first supersonic flight by a passenger aircraft on the 2nd of March in 1969 and flew at 1,394 miles an hour, more than twice the speed of sound. Roger Moore, born October 14, 1927, he was our English actor who played James Bond from 1973 to 1985. He also played Simon Templar in The Saint on the telly from 1962 and 1969, and in Maverick he played Beau Pappy Maverick. Sean Connery had originally turned down the role of 007, incidentally. Roger Moore was knighted by the Queen in 2003 for his services to charity. On October 16, 1928, a patent is awarded for the first practical light bulb frosted on the inside. As a practical joke, new employees of General Electric's National Electric Lamp Company were assigned the task of making a practical light bulb that was frosted on the inside. It was believed impossible to do, until new employee Mark Pipkin was assigned the task, and he did it without knowing that it couldn't be done. On October 17th, 1973, the Arab states declared an oil embargo on the US, Canada, Japan and the Netherlands and the UK for supporting Israel during the Yom Kippur War. Here in Britain, petrol became quite scarce, with many garages limiting the sale of petrol to just 2 gallons per sale. We were all issued with petrol coupons, but the embargo ended before national rationing became necessary. Hope you've paid attention this week, folks, and that you do well in the quiz. But for Rogers is now saying bye for now. Bye-bye.
Now, did you pay attention? If you missed the quiz answers, we'll run through them at the end of this week's edition with Mina, who should be here now with the weather. So what's it looking like, Mina?
A bit of everything this week, with some sunshine, cloudy and rain at times. Temperatures around the same as last week, between 12 and 14 degrees. The sunrise and sunset times are 7:39 a.m. sunrise and 18:08 p.m. for the sunset. Now, Friday 16th of October, we start with sunny intervals and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 12 degrees with low UV levels. On Saturday 17th of October, we have light cloud and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 12 degrees with low UV levels. Sunday 18th of October, again, we have sunny intervals and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 12 degrees with low UV levels. Moving on to Monday 19th of October, we have light cloud and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 13 degrees with low UV levels. Tuesday 20th of October, we have light rain and a moderate breeze with a maximum temperature of 14 degrees with low UV levels. Wednesday 21st of October, we have light rain, showers and a moderate breeze with a maximum temperature of 14 degrees with low UV levels. And finally, Thursday 22nd of October, we have light rain, showers and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 14 degrees with low UV levels. So, a bit of everything really, but whatever the weather, enjoy the weather.
I will. Thanks, Mina. News from our local football clubs now, and with a New England captain, here's Ian.
Proud Connor Cody hailed a night I will never forget after marking his second England appearance with a goal and then captaining his country against Wales at Wembley. The Wolves skipper produced a fine first-time finish from Kieran Trippier's second-half free kick as the Three Lions cruised to a 3-0 win. Cody's goal was made more remarkable by the fact he has scored only twice for Wolves, his most recent a penalty in the 4-0 victory at Bolton during the 2017-2018 championship winning season, and rarely ventures across the halfway line. The strike was the first by a Wolves player for England since Steve Bull netted in a warm-up match against Tunisia prior to the 1990 World Cup in Italy. The night then got even better for Cody when he was handed the captain's armband with just over 30 minutes remaining when Trippier, who had been named captain by Southgate, was withdrawn. Cody said, "I'm in shock, to be honest with you. The ball in from Kieran was incredible. Me and Dominic, Calvert-Lewin, had just swapped positions in the box, and when the ball came to me, I just tried to get my toe on it. It will live with me forever. I think it will be on continual repeat in my house now with the kids." Asked about what it was like to wear the armband, he replied, "I can't explain it. To play with these players is incredible for me, wearing the armband or not. But the feeling of it, everything about playing here at Wembley, is incredible. It is a night I'll never ever forget." Cody became just the fourth post-war Wolves player to captain England as he donned the armband against Wales. The defender had the huge honour in what was only his second cap, becoming the first Molyneux star to skipper the Three Lions since Emlyn Hughes in 1980, Ron Flowers in 1960, and Billy Wright between 1948 and 1959 before him. West Brom striker Hal Robson-Kanu has undergone surgery after breaking his arm in Albion's defeat at Southampton. But while the operation was successful, it is not known yet how long the forward will be sidelined for. Albion are hopeful the injury will keep the Wales international sidelined for weeks rather than months. But it remains too early to put an exact date on when he will be able to return. Albion boss Slaven Bilic has stressed throughout the transfer window he is eager to sign another striker. The club remains in talks with Huddersfield over a move for Carlan Grant, who is the Croatians' number one target. They've also held talks with Bournemouth over Josh King, while Watford duo Andre Gray and Troy Deeney are alternative options. Robson-Kanu's injury, though, won't impact the futures of Charlie Austin and Kenneth Zohor. Albion are believed to be willing to listen to offers for both players, with Austin having held talks with Derby. It is understood, though, the former Burnley man is eager to stay and fight for his place at the Hawthorns. Zohor is reported to be interesting Sheffield Wednesday and Middlesbrough. But even with Robson-Kanu injured, the Baggies are still believed to be willing to offload the duo.
Thanks, Ian. And after the international break, our teams are back in action this weekend. A look back now at the former Penderford Airport in Wolverhampton. And with that, it's Christine.
The story of Wolverhampton's long-disappeared airport has been brought to life for the internet generation. As part of an historical project during the 50th anniversary year of its closure, transport enthusiast Ron Leach, 76, has worked with fellow enthusiast Dave Nutting to prepare a video feature. The video, which has now been launched on YouTube, remembers the municipal aerodrome at Penderford, which has since been replaced by housing and an industrial park. Mr. Leach from Hurst Hill Sedgley said, "This is our way of marking the anniversary. We see it as a gift to like-minded transport enthusiasts. It takes the information from a little book by my friend Dave Welch and sets it out in a form suitable, I hope, for YouTube. I wanted to make Dave's information available to people who might not buy books. These days, a younger person might hear about Penderford, wonder about it, and go online to try to find information, and this presents it in a concisely summarised form. The video lasts only 10 minutes, but is full of accurate facts, maps, drawings, and period photographs. It is intended to stand the test of time and be a reference source for years to come. The video is titled Penderford Airport, a brief history. There is also a second 12-minute video by Mr. Nutting alone, which covers the development of the airfield and its features. But it also tells the story of the movie The Man in the Sky, starring Jack Hawkins, which was filmed on location in and around the airfield in 1956. Mr. Leach said the airfield formally closed on December the 31st, 1970. "It's all rather sad, really," he said. "People were campaigning to keep it open, and then an aeroplane crashed on a house in Redhurst Drive in Fordhouses, killing somebody. So that was the end of that." That tragedy in April 1970 claimed the lives of a resident and also the two crew of a Hawker Siddeley Dove, which stalled while trying to land in bad weather. Mr. Leach visited the airfield in 1964 to watch a flying display, but said, "I haven't been to the site since. I'm disabled and housebound now, so I couldn't get there even if I wanted to." Dave Welch, who wrote a 52-page book on which information in the video is based, joined Don Everall Aviation at Penderford in 1957 and lives now near Taunton. "I left school in about July and was going to join the Air Force straight off, but then got offered a job as a trainee mechanic at the airport and worked there for about 6 months," he said. Later, he did some flying training there in Osters, and later still, when making occasional visits to see his parents in Stafford, would pop to Penderford to see what was going on. "It was never very busy," he added. "When I worked there, if we got two visiting aircraft in a day, that was a good day." Despite a campaign to stop the closure, that 1970 air tragedy spelt its doom. Mr. Welch said, "A lot of us felt the place had potential. We knew the M6 and M54 were going to come nearby, so it would have had good road connections. It was a much better airfield than Halfpenny Green and had a pretty good weather record. It had that really nice Art Deco clubhouse with a bar and restaurant. It had everything going for it. If the council had had a more positive attitude towards the place, it could have been a success." The origin of the airfield was a surge in enthusiasm by cities and towns in the 1930s to have their own aerodrome. The site at Barnhurst Farm, Penderford, was recommended by Sir Alan Cobham, and the airport opened on June 25, 1938, with Midland Aero Club appointed to manage the aerodrome on behalf of Wolverhampton Council. Performing the opening was a record-breaking airman, flying officer Arthur Clouston, who said he thought the aerodrome could be enlarged. The mayor, Councillor R.E. Probert, he said, had told him the corporation owned all the surrounding land, and if they liked, they could have the biggest airport in the world. The opening was marked with an air pageant, which included a display in a Kirkby kite glider by the famous woman aviator Amy Johnson. Other excitements for the crowd included a wayward parachute drop by a Miss Ray Clark, who nearly landed in the canal, and a mock air raid display by local ARP, Air Raid Precautions, Warden and firefighters that was so botched it drew derisive laughter. The outbreak of war in 1939 ended all civilian flying, and the airfield was used by the RAF to give pilots elementary training using Tiger Moth biplanes. It was also used by the Boulton Paul factory on the doorstep, which made the Boulton Paul Defiant and Blackburn Rock, which were fighters equipped with gun turrets. Penderford attracted the attention of the Luftwaffe only once, when a Junkers Ju 88 raider dropped 5 bombs in September 1940, which fell harmlessly. Post-war, private flying gradually resumed, and Wolverhampton Aero Club was formed in 1946. The video tells how in 1950 the airfield hosted the King's Cup and Goodyear Trophy air races. Later, Wolverhampton Aviation ran the airport for the council, and the first scheduled flight was to Jersey on July the 18th, 1953, in a de Havilland Rapide. The video says Wolverhampton Aviation did not renew its contract to operate the airport, and Don Everall Aviation took over the running of Penderford. Alas, the airport was losing money. Grass runways and limited technical facilities hampered its potential development, and closure was recommended when Everall's agreement expired on December 31, 1970. In its final decade, Penderford was notable for several flying displays, usually in support of the Royal Air Forces Association.
Thanks, Christine. Now, I can't wait any longer. This week's flashback quiz, Mina will give you the answers.
I will. So, how did you get on this week? Let's find out. Question one. In what year was John Denver born? And the answer is 1943. Question two. What was the name of the actor who played the very first Tarzan on film? The answer here is Gordon Griffiths. Question three. How long was the record round the world flight made by Concorde? And the answer is 33 hours and 1 minute. Question four. What was the name of the TV show in which Roger Moore played Simon Templar? And the answer is The Saint. Question five. In what year was the frosted light bulb first patented? And the answer, of course, is 1928. And finally, question six. 1973 saw a fuel crisis in many Western countries. What was the name given to the Middle East War that triggered it? And the answer here is the Yom Kippur War. Another flashback quiz next week on events that happened in history. But to finish this week's edition of the Black Country Talking News, here's Pete with a little music quiz.
Thank you, Mina. And yes, a little music quiz to end this week. And quite frankly, you can't beat a little music quiz, can you? And thank you to Andy Colston for sending all the questions in. Andy sends them every week, and every week we like to say thank you because we do appreciate them, Andy. So what we do, as you know, is we'll give you a song title, but we'll miss a word out. And we'll put the word what in its place, okay? So let's start off with the first song title. So can you guess the song title? From 1958 then, Catch a Falling What? By Perry Como, okay? 1958, Catch a Falling What? Perry Como, okay? I think you might know that one, if I'm being honest. From 1959, Travelling What? That's Cliff Richard and the Shadow. So from 1959, Travelling What? Cliff Richard and the Shadows. And finally for this week, from 1960, and I think we're going to test you here, from 1960, Because They're What? That's by Dwayne Eddy. Because They're What? Dwayne Eddy. The answers are coming up next week at the start of next week's edition. And, well, it's over to you, Simon.
So that's it for another edition of the Black Country Talking News. A reminder to our CD listeners who have received CDs in padded envelopes that you don't need to send anything back to us. If you have a sight loss tip or someone you would like to wish a happy birthday to, just say hello to. Maybe even a poem or talking book you would like reviewed, then please get in touch with us at the Beacon Centre. Call 01902 880111. Email bctn@beaconvision.org or write to us at the Black Country Talking News, Beacon, Wolverhampton Road East, Wolverhampton, WV4 6AZ. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening, and thank you to all our supporters, donators and volunteers who without their support we would be unable to run this free service. Please note the information and views expressed in this recording does not necessarily represent the views of Beacon or Talking News and were accurate at the time of recording. Mentions of goods and services does not imply endorsement, and whilst every care is taken to supply accurate information, Beacon and Talking News do not undertake liability for any errors. So it's goodbye from all of us. Stay safe, have a good week, and we look forward to bringing you next week's edition of the Black Country Talking News. Ta-ra!